Welcome to this evening prayer. I'll be using a pattern of prayer from the Iona Community's We Worship Book, 5th edition, and a retelling by Bob Hartman of John chapter 21, one of the appearances of the risen Jesus to his disciples. These prayers and this story work well together. We will read a psalm, and you may wish to have your Bible open at Psalm 32. So let us pray. In the beginning, when it was very quiet, the Word was with God. And what God was, the Word was. In the beginning, when it was very dark, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When the time was right, God sent his Son. He came among us. He was one of us. We now turn to thanksgiving, and during the following prayers, there'll be moments of silence during which you can offer your own thanks to God. Let us pray. You keep us waiting. You, the God of all time, want us to wait for the right time in which to discover who we are, where we must go, who will be with us, and what we must do. So thank you. Thank you for the waiting time. You keep us looking. You, the God of all space, want us to look in the right and the wrong places, for signs of hope for people who are hopeless, for visions of a better world, which will appear among the disappointments of the world we know. So thank you. Thank you for the looking time. You keep us loving. You, the God whose name is love, want us to be like you, to love the loveless and the unloved and the unlovely, to love without jealousy or design or threat, and most difficult of all, to love ourselves. So thank you. Thank you for the loving time. And in all this, you keep us, through hard questions with no easy answers, through failing where we hoped to succeed and making an impact when we thought we were useless, through the patience and encouragement and love of others, and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you keep us. So thank you. Thank you for the keeping time. Amen. We now say together Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. We now turn to the retelling of a story from John chapter 21. Fishing Peter. Peter was fishing very hard. And some of Jesus' other friends were fishing with him too. Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and a couple more. They were back in a boat, back on the Sea of Galilee, back to where they'd started, before Jesus had ever come into their lives. Peter was frustrated, very frustrated. It had been a long time since he'd handled a net, a long time since he'd steered a boat. A long time, and it showed. For even though he'd been fishing all morning, there was nothing to show for all his hard work. Nothing at all. Peter was close to giving up. Very close. Then someone called from the shore. "Caught any fish, friends?" And everyone shouted back, "No." "Throw your net on the right side of the boat," the voice replied. "And I think you'll be surprised." So they did. And their net was suddenly so full that they could not haul the fish aboard. Peter was excited now, very excited, for he'd seen this happen before. "That's Jesus on the shore," he shouted to his friends. "Remember when we first met him? He did the very same thing." So Peter leapt out of the boat. Now Peter was wet, very wet. He swam to shore just as fast as he could. The others rowed behind. And when they got there, Jesus was sitting in front of a fire, roasting fish and toasting bread. "Take a seat," he said. "You're just in time for breakfast." Peter was happy, very happy. And then Jesus turned and asked him a question. "Peter, do you love me?" Peter smiled. "Of course," he answered. "You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs," said Jesus. Peter was puzzled now, just a little puzzled. "Feed my lambs?" he wondered. "What does Jesus mean?" "I suppose he trusts me. That's it. And he wants me to take care of his friends and followers." But then Jesus turned to Peter again. "Peter," he asked for a second time, "do you really love me?" Peter was even more puzzled now. Very puzzled, in fact. "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." "Good," said Jesus. "Then take care of my sheep." Peter picked up another piece of bread. "That settled then," he thought. And then Jesus turned to him a third time. "Peter," he asked again, "do you love me?" And now Peter was hurt, very hurt. He'd answered once, he'd answered twice. Did Jesus not hear? Did Jesus not believe him? Why did Jesus have to ask a third time? And then Peter remembered. another fire, another place, and another set of questions. "You're Jesus' friend, aren't you?" the servants had asked him. And three times Peter had said, "No." Peter was ashamed, very ashamed. So he looked Jesus right in the eye with a look that said, "I'm sorry, I really am." And then he gave his answer. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus looked right back at him with a look that said, "I know you're sorry, and I forgive you." But all he said was, "Feed my sheep." Peter was happy now, very happy. Jesus had forgiven him and given him an important new job. Peter wouldn't go fishing again for a long while. We take a moment to reflect on that story and on our own relationship with Jesus. And now, with that story of Peter's restoration ringing in our ears, we turn to pray for others. During these prayers, there'll be times of silence during which you can offer your own prayers to God. So let us pray. Let us pray for light, where the dark is doubly dark, where wrong dresses up as right, and even saints can be distracted, where life has gone into a tunnel, and all that is known is confusing voices and stumbling blocks in darkness, where faith and hope and love seem to be in ashes, needing an angel to blow on them. Let us pray for light. Let us pray for a word from the Lord, where human words can no longer be trusted, where voices from the past echo loudly saying, "You're not one of us," or "Keep quiet," or "I do not need you any longer," or "You never get it right." Where the voice of the church has been like sweet and sour water from the same rock saying, "Welcome," and "Watch it." Where the voice of God has seemed silent or been submerged beneath jargon. Let us pray for a word from the Lord. Let us pray for a friend of God, for someone who will bring encouragement where there is despair, who will bring company where there is loneliness, who will listen where a hard truth has to be shared, who will bring change or conversion through kindness, who will speak truth to power, who will bring the gift which makes all the difference. Let us pray for a friend of God. Help us, most Holy One, to hear you in the words of Scripture, and also to recognize your accent in the voices we hear in the world. Help us to see you in the good others do, and in the need which calls for love or justice. Help us to love you, and so to trust you, and to follow you. take from us any desire for recognition or reward and replace it with the quiet joy which comes from knowing that we do your will. And we bring all these prayers to you in the name of the risen Jesus. Amen. As we draw our prayers to a close, a final prayer of blessing. God of the watching ones and the waiting ones, the broken ones and despairing ones, the prayerful and positive ones, the angels in heaven and the child in the womb, this night give us your blessing, your good word for our souls, that we may rest and rise in the kindness of your company. Amen. And may Christ, who out of defeat brings new hope and a new future, fill you with new life this Easter. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.